The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
I want to introduce some folks to you that you don't know, and I'm going to let them, you're going to introduce your folks. Okay, I'm going to get a chance to do that. This is, as I call him affectionately, Z-Man. I found out today since I met his dad, he's really Z-Boy. His dad is Z-Man, all right? And he is a Ziegler is the name, and I've known David now for about 3 years, I guess. I met you when the Slidell Ministers Association began. And he's, you know, some people you meet and you just want to know them. David's that kind of guy. If you meet him, you want to know him. He's just a great man in the flesh, but he's a greater man in the spirit. And I just hold him in very high regard. He's been a chaplain most of the time I've known him with hospice, and he's done a lot of things. He's a walking, talking encyclopedia of things to do. But one of the things that he did that was really important, and he's going to tell you more about this, is that he, at the Slidell Ministers Association, started hitting on one of the single girls. All right? And he used all of his charm and ended up just getting this girl just so excited about it that she married him. And they got married in December, and that is Grace Z-Girl now. And these are two wonderful people. They just, you know, we have, these are folks that you don't know, but we have some folks come in for us occasionally and minister, and we call it the Rick and Judy Show. I mean, they're crazy in love with each other. They're newlyweds for about 3 or 4 years now, I guess. Great men and women of God. And so whenever they come, I always introduce them as the Rick and Judy Show. I have to, you guys, as you know, David and Grace Show. I don't know. They're doing some wonderful things. The Lord just used them in a mighty way. They may not mention this, so I just want to mention it very quickly. They went into the city of Bogalusa and transformed a city that was filled with hate and racial strife and had a great revival break out in the community of healing. And they were responsible under the hand of God for going into that city and making a big difference. So they're kind of celebrities up there. And there'll be celebrities around here with after today. So with that said and done, I'm going to introduce David, who's going to introduce his wife, who's going to introduce, I don't know, you guys just take over, right? You're on, David. Give him a big welcome. You dropped something here.
Thank you.
You're already married. You can't use that trick anymore. I'll drop it in your handkerchief.
Thank you. Okay.
I'll give you this microphone.
Well, it sure is a blessing to be here with you folks today. Yeah. And we are David and Grace Ziegler, and we have Cameron here with us today, who is our grandson there. And behind him is my parents, Charles and Beverly Ziegler. And so it's a blessing for your welcome here today. And just want to do something spontaneous if I can, in that we're in the spontaneous mode here in the church. Isn't it amazing? You know, it's so wonderful to be able to be who we are, feel welcome, to come into a place and say, this is who I am, with all my faults and with all my good parts too, but hey, it's all for God's glory. It is. And there's some pictures up here behind me, and I'll explain a little bit about that. Grace is going to explain some things and have some time and word with you today. But I'm going to sing a song. And I usually don't sing, but I'm going to sing a song of a heritage song here. And some of you, if you've heard this song, I want you to sing it along with me, okay? You may have heard it, and if not, I know Mom and Dad are going to sing. So help me out if you will. And I'll start out, I think, in the right key. And maybe you all know the key. But it goes like this. Sing unto God, Sing praises to his name. Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that rides upon the heavens by his name. Extol him that rides upon the heavens by his name. Extol him that rides upon the heavens by his name. By his name, Yah. And rejoice before him and rejoice. Before him and rejoice, rejoice before him and rejoice. Before him and rejoice. Before him and rejoice, rejoice before him. Amen. Amen. You know that one?
I learned it.
Okay, well, that song was written by my mother's mother. And her name was Winifred Stewart. And she was from Jamaica. And my mother's father was a Jamaican. Actually, he was born in New York, but went to Jamaica and did missions, met his wife, Winifred, and had my mom way back in the day there. And wouldn't you know, we're all still together. My grandparents have passed, but it is an amazing thing to see the journey in which God has brought the families together, and how when your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents are praying for you, the destiny. You know, sometimes while we're out working and we're out ministering, I'll get this little download, and the download is, you're doing this because your upline, your grandparents, your parents, your great-grandparents were praying for you. And this hits me occasionally. I'll be working, I'll be ministering, and bang, here it comes. And I'm almost laid out when I find out that reality. But I know it's true. I know that God has opened doors and that we are a product if we're willing to be obedient to the prayers of our upline. And so we can't take credit for anything. All we do is say, God, I am who I am. I did one thing that was good, and that was break my knee and surrender my knee to you. And that was the thing that got relationship with me and you to begin with. And so as a result, if there's any good thing that comes, it's because, first of all, you're good. And secondly, there are people on this earth that you've placed to pray on my behalf in order that I might walk into the destiny that God's called me to do. So, you know what? It's an amazing thing to be here. And thank you for having us come today, because you're watching destiny take place. Your destiny. But here we are getting ready to go do something that most people at our age are coming back from. But we're getting ready to go. So we're here to encourage you. We might be a little bit younger. Okay, I'm looking at the crowd. We might be a little bit younger, but I tell you what.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. I better get that right. I want to get out here still alive. But God has a destiny for you. I'm so glad that He does. Sometimes it takes a while. And it's not necessarily the destination. It's how you get there. You know that? It's an amazing walk. And so we're going to get on with some things. And behind us here is our website. And we're so thankful that we can even have that up today. You know, all the electronical issues that we not are having here, but that you just have everywhere. So it is a blessing to even have all this stuff, even though I like the old-fashioned singing. I knew every song that we sang earlier, by the way. I could sing it, and I saw that most of y'all could sing and hear it. And the Sing Unto God song, I'm surprised that you knew that song. But it's an amazing thing to be able to see what we're about to do, that it can be put on screen. And so as you look behind us, you see there we got married, Miss Grace and I, in December. And we met up with these two right here, Darren and Fatuma. They are our missionary friends. Mom and Dad, along with Darren and Fatuma and their little baby Grace. And there they are again. Those are the missionaries that we will be working with in Uganda, Africa. Here are some children that are at Love and Care for All, where they are cared for as orphans and they go to school. Not all of them, but most of them have the opportunity to go to school. So we are so grateful to be able to be heading that way and to take with us what we have as far as with some shoes, some tennis shoes and some backpacks and some needed items. But you know, we go with your prayers. We go with your concern. We go with your support. Whenever any of us get to go, we know that it's not just us. It's those who back us by prayer and support. And so thank you. Thank you today. I'm going to let Grace say a few things, and then I'll come back up and share our word. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us this morning. We appreciate your love, Pastor Morris and Sister Pat. We love you so much. You have a great pastor and his wife. I don't need to tell you that. You already know that. But we love them so much. From the moment we met them, they have been nothing except loving and supportive and encouraging to Dave and I. And we appreciate that. So Dave and I are excited about what the Lord is doing in our lives. Privilege to serve the Lord. It's such a privilege to serve the Lord. And it is amazing that God calls you and I, mere human beings, to partner with Him in His work. That always amazes me when I stop and I think about that. That He wants us to partner with Him with His work on earth. It's kingdom work. And Dave and I don't take that lightly. We never should. Because God's work, kingdom work, is serious business. And we take it seriously, but yet it's such a joy to serve the Lord. It's not burdensome, it is a joy. And we have fun while we're doing it. So here we are, we're getting ready to go to the Republic of Uganda. We're going to serve a culture of people who are very opposite from ourselves. Their skin is different, but you know what? And their culture is different, but they are just like you and me. They hurt like you and I hurt. Their hearts beat the same, just like our hearts beat. They sing just like we sing. They laugh just like we laugh. They cry just like we cry. And I have a little clip here that I want you to look at for a minute. Than we do that, right? Dave and I are hoping to get those moves down. What is that? Send a picture. Okay, we'll do that. But Uganda is, I want to tell you just a little bit about Uganda. Uganda is slightly smaller than the state of Oregon. So that'll give you some idea of the size. And right now the population is approximately 40 million people. A little bit more about it is that the capital city is Kampala, and Kampala is north of where we're going to go. We're going to Masaka, and both of those cities are right on the left side, on the west side of Lake Victoria. Uganda is, we've been reading and studying, and Uganda is supposed to be one of the most scenic places on the continent of Africa. The majority of Uganda is about 3,000 feet above sea level, and there are some mountainous areas that are higher than that. It is right on the equator, so therefore it's going to be hot and humid. And if we in Louisiana think that we get a lot of rain, well, we're in for more rain there. They get an average of 80 inches per year. That's a lot of rain. And we are going in April and May, which is one of the rainy seasons. Yes. Have you been to Uganda? No. Has anybody in here been to Uganda? No. Has anybody in here been to Africa? No. Okay. Dave's been to Africa before. He's been to Niger and to Morocco, right? Yeah, I've been to Egypt. But yes, okay. So the climate will be hot and humid. There's a lot of animals there, of course, elephants, rhinos, hippos. But it is home. Uganda is more famous. It's known for its mountainous gorillas. And they actually call them the kingdom's gentle giants. So we're hoping to see some of that while we're there. Maybe we can take a day and just do that. The rest of the time we'll be serving at the orphanage. So I do want to tell you too, with the land being beautiful, for those of you who are older in here, Winston Churchill actually titled Uganda the Pearl of Africa because of its beauty. Now, why are we going? And what will we do while we're there? We are going, first of all, because we are called to be there. We know that we have been called to be there. It is a calling, it's an appointment, it's an assignment from the Lord to be there. To go and help Darren and Fatuma, and we don't even know who else. The other day we got word, when I let a missionary friend know that we were heading to Masaka, Uganda, he emailed back and he said, oh my goodness. He said, I have a friend in my church back home, he's in Belgium. He's a missionary to Belgium on the university campus. And he said that he has a lady friend in his church from New Iberia who has an orphanage, guess where? In Masaka. So there are a lot of orphanages in Masaka because there are many children that live on the street. It has a high rate of orphans because of AIDS epidemic, and also because of past wars under the reign of Idi Amin. So so we go because we're appointed and we're assigned. And we understand that calling only in part, okay? We have learned that we don't need to understand the whole calling and what God wants to do, that we just obey the part we do understand and know and walk it out one step at a time. And believe me, it's become a daily one step at a time. But it's exciting that it's one step at a time because we take the little step God gives us light in, and then before you know it, we see him move, and then he shows us the next step and we move there. So it's a journey, and it's a great journey. Secondly, we go because we believe our motto. The organization that we have formed is called INT OUT, and that stands for International Outreach. And we have a motto, and our motto is, to whom much is given, much is required. We have been given a lot. In the United States of America, we, as Christians, have been given a lot. And we believe, to whom much is given, much is required. And we believe that freely we have received of God's grace, freely we give. So Dave and I have received of God's wonderful mercy, his forgiveness, his mercy, his grace, through our faith in Jesus Christ. And so now we go and we proclaim the good news to others who have not heard it. But we are also going for those who have heard it and who need encouragement in the faith, who need things that you and I take for granted every day. Clean water. Where we're going, they have no hot water. And I love to take a hot bath. So this is a sacrifice. But I say that lightly. That's not a sacrifice, not really. But we have brothers and sisters in the faith across the ocean who need encouragement. And so we go and we will let them know that they have brothers and sisters, you, brothers and sisters in the faith, who care about them. And who are praying for them, and who love them, and will encourage them with your prayers. We also go because 2 Corinthians 5:18 tells us, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I was reading in the Living Bible this week when I was, Dave and I knew that was the message that we were to bring today, was that message of reconciliation. And I was reading in the Living Bible, and listen to how it words it. It says, whatever we do, it is certainly not for our own profit, but because Christ's love controls us now. Since we believe that Christ died for all of us, we should also believe that we have died to the old life we used to live. He died for all, so that all who live, having received eternal life from him, might live no longer for themselves, to please themselves, but to spend their lives pleasing Christ, who died and rose again for them. And so, Dave and I feel that the Lord brought us together for this purpose, to proclaim the message of reconciliation at home and abroad. We always laugh and say, isn't it great that we not only get to do this together, and that's ministry, but we get to enjoy the love we have for one another as we go about doing this. And we said, there is nothing greater than that. It doesn't get better than that. So a little bit about us. We met at the first St. Tammany Parish Coroner's Office Chaplaincy Training in March of 2015, and we were volunteering our services as chaplains in the parish. A few months later, the Lord brought us together as Dave was working on a reconciliation project. Even hate to call it project. It was a move that God was doing, and Dave was leading it with all of the pastors, many of the pastors in that city, and it was a work for racial reconciliation. And Dave asked me to come and help. And we, and so I did, and so here we are. But we understand and we know deep within ourselves that God has called Dave and I to that theme of reconciliation. That's our mission. It is the reason for all that we do. But I want to remind you this morning that the ministry of reconciliation is not just the calling for Dave and I, but it is your calling as well, because you are believers in Jesus Christ. You too have been called as ministers of reconciliation. You too have been called to do all that you can wherever God puts you to be ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. You represent him. Therefore, you represent the message of reconciliation. You have been given the responsibility as ministers of reconciliation. So what in the world does reconciliation mean? Somebody this morning said, I don't even know how to spell that. I know they were just kidding, though. So in the Greek, reconciliation means restoration to the divine favor. Restoration to the divine favor. So our first ministry is reconciling man to God. That's our first ministry. Webster defines reconciliation as to adjust or settle, to make friendly again, to harmonize. And that's the second part of our calling, is a ministry of reconciliation man to man. You know, there's racial conflict, there's cultural conflict, there's political party conflict, there's family conflict. Everywhere you go, we have conflict and broken relationships. God calls us to a ministry of reconciliation, peace between brothers, people, okay, of all kinds. And so today, we have come to share with you our vision for Africa. We've come to tell you that the Lord has opened a door for us to minister to the Ugandan orphans, and we will first minister to their physical needs, because Jesus Christ gave us an example to follow. And if you remember throughout the scriptures, he always ministered to the physical needs first. It's hard if you're hungry to listen to a gospel of salvation. You want to be fed first. If you don't have clean water, you want clean water first. If you don't have shoes and you're walking to school every day barefoot, it'd be nice to have a pair of shoes. And so when we asked the orphanage what did they need the most of, she said, please bring us gently used tennis shoes and gently used backpacks. That's what they needed the most, and that's what we're collecting. If any of you have that, we'll be collecting it for 2 more weeks. And would it be okay if they had some, if they brought them here, Pastor Morris, and then Dave and I'll come pick them up? gently used shoes, any size, and gently used backpacks. Tennis shoes, yes, tennis shoes. That's what they mainly need for school. So as we're collecting that, a little bit else, we're also going to make, David and I make homemade crosses, the horseshoe nail crosses wrapped with the copper wire. And we have been asked to bring supplies and tools and to teach the children how to make those crosses so they can then sell those and make money for their orphanage. So we're bringing supplies, we're bringing tools, we will be teaching them how to do that, along with our gift to them, bringing 100 crosses pre-made to give to them. So we're bringing that as well. Some other people have donated other items. We're bringing those, toothbrushes, toothpaste, dishcloths, and a host of other toiletry items. My room's filling back up, Miss Beverly. I had to clean out everything for Dave moving in, and so I had a room that became filled with all kinds of stuff. And then we cleared all that out and got it cleaned up again. Now it's filling back up with African items. So praise God we have that room. Now, I'm about to close this out, but I want to say recently the Lord gave us a vision for these children. And that vision was that we're going and we're bringing shoes. We're bringing backpacks. And Dave and I didn't talk about this. The Lord laid it on both of our hearts. And when we began to talk, it was there on both of our hearts. And we said, we want to go, and we're going to have a church ceremony, a worship service. And after we praise and worship with all of these kids, we're going to take them and line them up, and we want to anoint their feet. We want to anoint their feet. And then we want to anoint those backpacks and those shoes. And we want to encourage them to go out and be evangelists and evangelize their own country, Uganda, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of these kids are already Christians because they're in a Christian orphanage where they pray every morning. And but we want to encourage them to do that. And they will become preachers of the gospel wherever they go. Darren and Fatuma said that they get these children from off of the street. These are kids that just live on the street and eat whatever food they can grab out of a garbage can. And they find them on the street and they take them in and they come to live there. And they said they then, that these kids now, because they're getting an education, are coming home with dreams that they want to be doctors. They want to work in the areas of government. They want to be governmental leaders. So can you imagine that is how you change a nation? That is how you change a nation, by leading children to the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can bring reform there, okay? That's it. Righteousness and justice flowing down. That's it. So why are we going and what will we do? I've told you a lot of it, and now here's the last part. We have been given a reconciliation mandate. We have been given a governmental mandate, and we don't say that lightly. That's an awesome responsibility, but we recognize that. And so we have been given the responsibility, we just learned that this week, to go on the African soil and to intercede on behalf of the United States of America because of some things that took place on the African continent in the last few years. The United States went there, our government did, and begin to try to encourage some of the African countries to embrace abortion and homosexuality. And not only did we go with that message, but we have learned that we also went on the other side of that and said, if you don't embrace this, financial aid will be withheld from you. Okay, and so we are going to go, representative, we're Americans, and when we're on that soil, we're going to ask God's mercy, grace, and forgiveness over our nation for taking that there. And then we're going to ask also that God would release Uganda from the curse that those sins bring to a nation. And as I close out my part for today, and Dave is going to come and he's going to share an additional message with you, We want you to know we do covet your prayers. Anytime we bring a message of reconciliation to an individual or a community or a family, the enemy of our souls will do counterattacks. So we need your prayers as well. Please intercede for us as we walk out the calling and the responsibilities that God has placed on us. Thank you.
Wow. Okay. How do I sound? Okay. Great. Can everybody hear me there? All right. I don't want to be mangled up back here. Wow. Thank you, Grace, for... Wow, that was amazing. I don't have much to say after that. I was sitting thinking, wow. Very interesting. And, you know, we're grateful to be able to be a part of what is getting ready to take place. We came together, and we know that the Lord brought us together. And we've been married for 2 months now. And when you see reconciliation take place in all types and forms, it's exciting. And that is our ministry, all of us. It's our ministry to have reconciliation. I see you back there, Karen. Good to see you, old friend from years ago. It's truly fun to be up here as well and to let you know that, wow, we're all in this together. And wherever I go, the main emphasis that I'd like to have is that we spread God's love first and foremost. It's really not our flowery speech, how we communicate, as well as it is that we spread this message of love. One of my mentors, Pastor Charles Green, was a pretty tough guy. He knew how to speak well. He had a degree in English. But I'll never forget one of the things he said, and that was, if you have 100% negative coming against you, you come against that negative with 100% positive. It doesn't mean you lower your standard for that oomph that God's placed within you. And I've always been an offensive player in high school in football. I didn't do well on defense. I figured I got to be an offensive player. I got to have the feeling of having that ball in my hand and the ability to run and to maybe score and make a touchdown. And I've kind of likened that to my life now, in that God has been able to put that within me to go and to have authority and to do things. And, you know, there's another song that comes to me as I think about what I'm about to say, and I'm not going to be up here too long. But there was another song, and it was this. It was called, "It is the Time to Take the Kingdom. Rise up, ye strong, possess the land, for every power and dominion is given into your hand. Ye that have ears to hear the trumpet, ye that have hearts to understand, it is the time to take the kingdom. Rise up, 'tis Christ's command." And do you know that God is giving and has given us this dominion? And we're taking it, as Grace said, we're taking this serious. We went up to Bogalusa not with, "We're going to do this." We went up to Bogalusa with a humble heart and said, "Can we do this?" We went to the pastors and the mayor of the city and the leaders, and we said, "Can we have this event for the sake of racial reconciliation?" And they said, "Yes, you can do this." And they said, "What do you need in order to accomplish your mission?" And they gave us whatever we needed. We thought that to be a miracle, but we understood that it was out of brokenness that we went. And now as we prepare for Uganda, it is out of brokenness that we go. But in that brokenness, God gives so much energy and favor. It's because He does it His way. All we have to do, as you know, is to say, "God, what do I do?" And simply obey. And then here comes the next step. And then the next step. And you advance. And you rest. Grace gave me a bracelet while we were working in Bogalusa. And this isn't the bracelet, but on the front of it, it said, "Rest, advance, excuse me, advance and rest. And that was what was on the bracelet. And on the back of the bracelet was engraved Psalm 2:8, I believe it was. Yes, ask and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, was the scripture referenced on the back. But we advance and then we rest. Today we think that we have to keep advancing and advancing and advancing. Well, Ford has that statement, the best never rest. Well, I disagree, because we need to have our rest. And it empowers us to be able to be creative for the next season or the next assignment. And so we've had our rest and we're ready to go. Bogalusa, and working there, thank God, with the city, was a wonderful season, and now it's now on to the next season. And when God begins to talk to you particularly and gives clues and He gives ideas as to your prayers, and you find yourself doing things and hearing from Him, and maybe going down and kneeling at a park because you weren't sure what took place at that park years ago, and then God reveals it to you through people that come up to you and say, you know, you were praying over there, and what took place in the park right where you are is this tragedy. Why were you praying? And we said, we don't really know, but we knew blood was spilt here at one time, and we're here to pray and ask God for forgiveness as to what took place here. And when God gives us clues that are so specific about this, we realize we're not just praying to hear something. We're praying to hear specifics. And so as a ways and means of reconciliation, sometimes you have to go and you have to repent. Sometimes you don't know what to repent for, but God reveals it to you. And then you're able to say, okay, God, what's our next move? And you'll do this. And other people will come up and go, wow, you don't know what you just did, because so-and-so took place at this particular time in history, and I was there. And we're like, wow, we didn't even understand, but we just simply obeyed. And then God took us to the next season and actually showed us why. So we're so thankful. We're thankful for that He's called us to do what we're about to do, and that is reconcile. Lost man back to the Lord, but also reconcile one another as well. I like what you have up there. Come home, all is forgiven. Man, is that the message not only that we carry, is that we should forgive? Because, man, once you forgive, on the other side are miracles, signs and wonders. And that's what we've prayed for as we go, that there will be signs and wonders, things that take place that are supernatural. Don't we represent the supernatural? Hearing all the testimonies earlier today were healings, celebrations of healings, as well as great needs for people to be healed. Isn't it amazing how we can rejoice about a healing or something great that we see God's supernatural hand move in, and then we're the next prayer is, God, please do a supernatural act in this person's life. Well, thank God He hears our prayers. He knows our needs. Sometimes I'm wondering, okay, God, what angel are you going to send today to meet this need? How are you going to do this? And He's like, don't worry about it. I've got you. I've got you back. So this is an exciting life. Thank God. Whoever said that being a born-again Christian is boring? All you have to do is apply yourself. And as you apply yourself, then you begin to see, wow, I've stepped into a whole other realm of life, a whole realm of a new kingdom. And it works. What I love about it is that you got to have patience. You have to have patience. But after that patience, and after the trial and the tribulations, it works patience and it works perseverance in order that we continue. This call came many, many years ago, this call to Africa. And now we get to go. 30 plus years ago. But you wonder, why didn't we start back then? It was because we weren't ready. We simply weren't ready. Now we're ready. And you say, how do you know you're ready? And we say, He gives you little clues, but then you step out in faith and go, you made me for this. I got to go. I got to go swing on some of those vines in those jungles. And I'm not kidding about that. I vision myself swinging on a vine somewhere in a jungle. Like Tarzan. I envisioned that as a young boy. But I still can swing and I can still grab a hold of a vine and hold my weight up. And so if it happens, it happens. I've dreamed of seeing animals, these beautiful animals that God has created. I've dreamed of being with people that may not have what I have, that I get to go and bring what I do have. I dream of being able to sing and to dance. And I am going to learn to dance like those guys did. That's part of the reason I'm going. I'm going to go dance. I've already danced in Niger. Now I'm going to go dance in Uganda. And why? 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 Because it all involves reconciliation. It all involves whatever gift and talent. Listen, God wants to use us, every part of us. Not just our intellect. Not just our bodies. Not just our talent. He wants to use every phase of what we do. Because you know, when you know that God's called you to something and you're doing it, it attracts other people. And other people get around you and they go, well, I wonder what my purpose is. I see that you're going about this purpose that God's given you, but what's my, and you know what, that's my greatest desire, is to see that others, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, that I'll be so contagious that others are going to go, well, what am I supposed to do, if you don't know what you're supposed to do? Because when we're welcomed in God's kingdom, then here comes a whole new phase of understanding of life, and it can be exciting. And yes, we go through periods of hard times. If you'd have said, Dave, you're going to have a season of being a hospice chaplain, I'd have said, what? I don't want to be around sick and the dying. I really think it's depressing. And he said, no, you need that. You need that season so that you can understand what compassion is like for folks that are passing away. We did lay hands on people that were getting to pass. Some didn't go. Some stayed with us and are still here. Some did pass. But we understand now all the more what this thing of compassion is. Working mainly with the elderly. Now, we're going to the opposite. We're going to work with young children. So it's amazing how God will bring us through seasons. We just have to be willing to say, yes, God, if you say that this is what I'm to do, if I'm to pick up this particular cross and carry it, then I'm willing to pick up this particular cross. Isn't that what he said in the scriptures to do anyway? Is to be willing to pick up that cross. But you know what? Sometimes it is a season where you're around not necessarily what you'd like to do. But if you smile and you say, God, you put me here. I'm going to enjoy it while I'm here. Then you can do it with a smile on your face. And you get to say things like Grace said earlier, and that is, I get to do this. I get to be one of God's ambassadors in life. Whether it be preaching, whether it be technical work, whether it be a garbage man, whether it be a worker in a daycare, whether it be a stay-at-home mom, whether it be a police officer, what have you, whatever your call, you can be a happy face as you go about doing that. And you know, he's got great and precious promises. Great and precious promises. I've got a little bit about what I'd like to say, and I'm not going to belabor it because, wow, you know, sometimes God can change what you got to bring. And I just invite him every time to say, God, not my will, not my words, your will be done. I'm going to read a little bit out of this book of Philemon, and it's just one chapter. And it's towards the end of the New Testament there. And I'm just going to give a little explanation about how Paul wrote this book and how he used it for the sake of a young man named Onesimus to be reconciled back to this man named Philemon. I've got verses 4 through 18. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it through all of it for the sake of time. But I'll just say this. The book of Philemon is about reconciliation in relationships between Christians. Onesimus, which means useful, his actual name meant useful, was a slave of a believer named Philemon in Colossae. Apparently, Onesimus had stolen from Philemon and fled. At some time when Paul was under arrest, and by the way, as we know, Paul had chains wrapped around him at particular times in his life, and God used those chains to make him all the more effective as an apostle. Onesimus met him and became a Christian. He met Paul. Paul apparently wrote this letter at the same time as Colossians, the letter of Colossians. And God, Paul gave Onesimus this letter to carry back with him to Philemon. Paul appealed to Philemon to accept Onesimus back into his household, but as a brother in the Lord rather than a slave. In Paul's estimation, Onesimus was far more useful now than he was a Christian, in that he was a Christian. Paul even promised to pay whatever debt Onesimus might owe Philemon. Okay. So Philemon is there in Colossae. Paul is in prison somewhere else. And Paul has this young man named Onesimus, and he's going to send him back to Philemon, his master. But he appeals, Paul appeals to Philemon in this particular letter in five ways. The first way, under this whole topic of reconciliation, is that Paul appeals to Philemon on behalf of Philemon's reputation. Philemon 4 through 7 says, I thank God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Amazing words. When Paul would write a letter about correcting someone, he would usually start out by exhorting that person. Then he would actually tell you, hey, this is where you might need some improvement. And then he would finish his letter with another exhortation as to how he loved you. It's amazing how Paul wrote. I love reading Paul's writings. So first, Paul appeals to Philemon on Philemon's reputation, which was a good reputation, by the way. Secondly, Paul appeals to Philemon on behalf of Philemon's Christian love. Verse number 9 says this, accordingly, as a result of all I just said, Paul says, according to what I just said, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. You know, Paul had apostolic authority. He had the ability to speak into people's lives as to the ones that would submit to Christ and to his ministry, and he kind of had an authoritative way about it. But he didn't want to appeal to Philemon that way. He wanted to appeal to Philemon in love. So he appeals to Philemon in love. As we continue, there's a third thing that Paul appeals to Philemon in, and this is it. Paul appeals to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus' conversion. Wouldn't you know, Onesimus left Philemon his master. And he at that point he did not know the Lord, but Onesimus comes into the company of Paul and becomes born again. He becomes a Christian. Verses 9b through 10 say this, I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner for Christ Jesus, appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. So we see here another appeal that Paul appeals to Philemon by, and that is by, in that Onesimus is now a fellow believer, he is asking him to receive him back. Fourthly, Paul appeals to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus' usefulness or value. Another reason why Philemon was to look at Onesimus and welcome him back. Verses 11 through 14. Wow, I'm surprised I'm getting through all this. Formerly, he was useless to you, Paul says, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you. I'm sending my heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. Paul basically was saying to Philemon, I'm not really trying to tell you what to do, but I'm kind of telling you what to do. And that is, this brother that was has left you, I have found useful for the sake of the gospel, and I'm praying that you receive him back as useful. Lastly, Paul appeals to Philemon on behalf of the providence of God. God's providence, verses 15 and 16. Paul says, "For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord." It's amazing how God will take a tragedy and somebody comes to him and becomes born again through Christ, and how he'll take a situation and turn it around. Sometimes in our own backyard, we wonder about our neighbors. We might think, wow, am I the one to reach them? And you may go out and you may talk to your neighbors about the Lord. You may speak friendly words with them, and you wonder, wow, am I the one that I should be to lead this person to the Lord? And then you might find out that you aren't, that someone else might be, and that they may be going through not so a hard time. And then you find out that later on in life that they went through a hard time and went to someone else and received as a result of somebody else telling them about the gospel. And then you go back to them and you were wondering, well, I guess I wasn't that person. Maybe I planted, maybe I watered, but as the scripture said, God brings the increase as we go about speaking life to people. In this particular situation, Onesimus came underneath the conversion of Paul and was being sent back to Philemon in order to be reconciled to his master. And by the way, one thing I'd like to say as I was doing this study, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do. There's a lot of political stuff going on. There's a lot of social things going on. And we're not out there to say, wow, what you're doing here is wrong. Paul didn't address slavery and condemn it. Jesus even didn't do so. He said, I need to change hearts. And as a result of hearts changing, political views change, social views change, but our heart has to change first. And when we see corruption take place, yeah, we as Americans have the right to go do what we can do, but where we're headed, you can't go do that. If the law is established and it seems unfair, or there's no justice there, then you have to pray for opportunity to even voice your opinion, lest you be put in jail. So we're going to appeal to hearts. We're going to see where God would have us placed as far as this thing of reconciliation. We're going to love on our fellow brother. We're going to go learn how to have fun. We're going to go learn how to dance. All the fun things that God calls you to do as a result of doing his work. We're going to go see some animals. We're going to go have some fun. We're going to go on a safari. We're not going to shoot any animals. We're going to, even though there are hunters, but we're going to go and have some amazing times there. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I'll have Jane with me if she's willing to swing with me there. Finishing up here, verses 17 through 18, and I'll be done. Paul says, "So if you consider me your partner," as he addressed Philemon once again, "receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account." Wow, talk about Christ-likeness that Paul was exuberating. It was like, hey, trust me, I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is. Receive him back to you. And it's so amazing to see how Paul did what he did to show Christian love. And he appealed to Philemon and said, hey, this thing of reconciliation, we're out here doing it, but I'm writing a letter to you sent back through this guy that you used to consider possibly someone that you weren't too happy with, but please receive him on my behalf. We go on your behalf to help in the area of reconciliation. We go on behalf of your prayer, your support, and mainly thanks, our thanks and your thanks to God. Because, wow, to be able to go and experience the many adventures that are headed our way, we realize that it is a truly serious matter, but lives will be changed. And lives are changed here. You know, when we come to church week after week after week, and we say, God, thank you for allowing me in your kingdom. Thank you for allowing me to be in this place. Sometimes it gets a little humdrum. But you know what? It's better to be in here, listening to the words, being in the atmosphere of the kingdom, than it is to be out there where you can't go to your spiritual hospital. This is your spiritual hospital. This is the place you come to share your burdens. But this is also the place to come and share your joy and your love and to be built back up again, even though we're supposed to be doing it during the week, praising Him, giving Him glory. But it is a place to come to lay your head and to say, God, thank you. And to show our allegiance and to bring our tithe and to say, yeah, we're proud to be people that say we live by what the Scriptures say. And we're willing to put our funds where, and I'm not up here to appeal to funds. I'm just saying, when you live this life, and when you can say, we are people that believe that we should fund what we believe, that it makes it all the more effective. I love to see you smile. I love to see your thanks. I see it on your faces. You might be hurting today, if not yourself or someone else. But thank you. You're encouraging. You're loving. You're the body of Christ. Yes, ma'am. I was waiting for that. Didn't I tell you that yesterday? Thank you. And the reason I say thank you is this. When you're doing what you're supposed to do, it's going to attract other folks. And thank you. We will see what happens in the future. Because this plan, this first time, it's all experimental for us. We have contacts. We have definite things we're going to do. But man, we're constantly thinking about how can other folks come? How can we make this easy for other folks that want to come to go and be a part? We can't tell you that it's 100% safe because we're doing the work of the Lord and we're leaving the country. But we can guarantee you you'll have an exciting time. That's for sure. There you go. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And He carries us and instructs us and tells us what our next step is. Can I pray? And then I'll have you come for the Morris. Lord, thank you today for each one of us being able to be here. Father, we appeal to you today as Paul appealed to Philemon, dear God. We appeal to you not based on our good works, not based on really any earthly thing except that you sent Jesus to this earth as a means to knowing you, our true Heavenly Father. And Jesus, as you came, you did your work, and it was done quickly. And so, Father, what took place in a matter of 3 years of Jesus' ministry changed the world, and it caused man to be able to have relationship with you, Father. That's the ministry and the work of reconciliation. And so today, as we stand and sit here, we thank you, God, that it's on American soil that this nation was founded upon the gospel and upon biblical principles, that we are able, dear God, we're thankful that we're able to be here today. And God, we pray that needs that were spoken of today concerning the sick, concerning those in danger areas, Lord, concerning every need, that it would be met. And Father, thank you for the ability to project the gospel, to project the good news, the euangelion in the Greek word that means good news. Father, there's bad news out there, but we know that within these earthen vessels that you've put within us, the Spirit of life, to bring forth good news, that we might be refreshing and that we might be a sweet-smelling savor to you first and foremost and then to this world. And thank you for sending us, Lord, locally and internationally into this world to be a light and to be salt. And we accept our call and we accept this mandate as serious, but also with great joy, because that is what it will attract this world, is the joy that you've placed in our hearts. And so we go forth with thankfulness and thank you for this body that you're blessing and are continuing to use in this community. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.